Easter Sunday, the greatest day in the Christian calendar, or rather, the greatest message within the Christian message. In our Easter card this year, we declared, in a way, two great facts. Jesus is new life, and he is new hope. And we can declare those facts because he is not here. He is risen. And on this Easter morning, it's good that we go back to that initial record of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message passed on to God's people on that occasion. But we need to remember that the resurrection is not just an historical fact. It is a continuing experience. It is a reality that is going to come to complete fruition. It is going to come to its climax, if you like, on that day when the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed all of his people and they have been drawn through the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church will be complete, the kingdom will be fully established, and the Lord Jesus Christ will return to claim his glory, to establish his kingdom, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will meet the Lord together in the air. We read this morning, didn't we, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and there in verse 6, the messengers of God declare the truth. He is not here, but is risen. And that message continues throughout the New Testament until in Revelation chapter 21, chapter 1, when God is beginning to bring everything to a conclusion as far as Revelation is concerned, as far as the Word of God is concerned. We have John on the Isle of Patmos, and he is given a vision of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when John falls at his feet as dead, we read this, "But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Jesus is alive. People might say, so what? What does that mean? Well, as we said in our Easter card, Jesus, new life. What is that life? What is the message of that life? What is the evidence of that life? Well, it is a conquering life. It is a life that has conquered. He is not here, but has risen. Even his disciples, even those women who were most faithful to him, they could not understand the resurrection. They had no hope of the resurrection. They were going to the tomb, expecting to embalm the body of their dead teacher. But he had conquered. He had conquered death. He had conquered the grave. He had risen. Mark, in his account of the resurrection, has the angels speaking to those who came to the tomb, saying, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." On Friday, we were looking at the fact that the friends of Jesus, the enemies of Jesus, the ruling authorities, accepted the fact that he was dead. Not one of them was prepared to simply say, yes, he's died. It was verified, it's recorded. But on Easter Sunday, we have this great message. Yes, he was crucified. He was dead. He was buried. But He has risen. And I find this an interesting fact, that the Gospels tell us that he is risen, the emphasis being that Christ has risen. It is Christ who conquered the grave. And yet in Acts 2, we are told that it wasn't simply a work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2 and verse 24, we are told God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And then in verse 36, in the same sermon, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. On that resurrection morning, it was a miracle. The dead Christ rose. He conquered death. And yet, it was also a cooperative work of the Godhead. God raised him from the dead. But friends, Easter Sunday morning is not the last time that we have encounters with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Nor is it in those 40 days before his ascension. But the New Testament records for us on at least two occasions instances where the resurrected Christ spoke to human beings. We have the one that I've already referred to in Revelation, where John, he's a prisoner, he has suffered persecution, the church is being persecuted, probably after about 40 years of existence. And it almost seems as though the light of the gospel is going to go out. John is restricted. He is no longer free to preach. He is imprisoned. But there, in that imprisonment, he has this glorious picture of the risen Christ. And he falls dead before him, overwhelmed by the glory of God. And God says to him, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." But the Lord Jesus Christ also appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road. In Acts chapter 9, he was there ready to persecute. He was there ready to crush. He was set on one goal, and that was to destroy any record of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, any evidence of his teaching. And yet, the resurrected Christ met with him. Jesus appeared to him in glory. We don't have the same detail as is given to John in Revelation, but there is this glory and there is the voice of authority. And Paul says to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." We come this morning to a God who has conquered. Friends, I don't want any of you to think that in heaven, in the spirit world, there is a power of good and a power of evil in constant battle with equal power, with equal authority. No, that is not the case. We worship a risen Savior. We worship a Savior who was raised from the dead. The powers of evil, the powers of darkness have been conquered. The price has been paid. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, in effect, as our card says, he arose with new life, because it was the life of God and man in one purpose, a person, Jesus Christ rose with new life. The writer to the Hebrews says that it was the power of an indestructible life. Yes, Jesus died. But what distinguishes Jesus from other people who have risen from the dead is that they were raised from the dead, but they had to die again. But Jesus was the first to rise, never to die again. We look forward to that day when there will be others who were present on the earth when the Lord Jesus Christ rises, and they will be taken in to the presence of God. They will be changed. They will be transformed into his likeness in an instant. But it is Jesus who is the new life. Jesus who is the source of life. Jesus is the one who gives life to those who call upon him and who seek him. Jesus walked this earth for 33 years as a full human being, and yet with the eternal God in one person. He understood humanity. But after his resurrection, he walked this earth for another 6 weeks. If you like, in a different perspective, as the risen, conquering King, the one with new life. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a conquering life, but it is also a comforting life. In the immediate experience of the resurrection, we need to remind ourselves, as I was saying earlier, that those who came expecting to find a dead friend. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us they were perplexed about this. Behold, two men were standing by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened. And they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" The morning of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ sent messengers to his people in order that they may be comforted. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 16, the angels say, "Do not be alarmed." Friends, let's be honest. None of us confront death easily. None of us hear of the death of a loved one, a friend, a relative, and say, "Oh, well, yes, we believe in the resurrection, and therefore everything will be fine." No, death is an intrusion. Death is a separation. Death is a rupture of relationships. And that is exactly what the apostles went through, and the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. On that first Easter morning, they were perplexed, they were afraid, they were dismayed. But what did the messengers say? Well, Mark 16 records, "Do not be alarmed." And that's what God says to us this morning. As you face the death of a loved one, as you face the reality, the inevitability of your own death, God says, "Do not be alarmed." And I said to you that John had this vision of the resurrected Christ. And there was John in all the confusion of his life. "Lord, why have I been allowed to remain alive if I can't preach? You called me to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and yet here I am imprisoned on this island." And we're told that the Lord in his glory, when John had fallen at his feet as dead. The Lord laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. Friends, this morning, the new life that is available in the Lord Jesus Christ is a comforting life. It is a life that supports us through the challenges of life, the uncertainties. It is a life that understands when we feel overwhelmed. But Lord, why? Why is it like this? Do you remember? Later in Luke 24, there were those two disciples walking to Emmaus, and they were asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, well, why are you talking about these things? What are the things that you're talking about? And they said, you know, about Jesus of Nazareth. We had hoped. And they were devastated. And perhaps that is your position this morning. You feel overwhelmed. Why, Lord? Well, the new life that is available in Christ is a comforting life. It is comforting from the angle that the Lord Jesus Christ meets us in our situation. Isaiah says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, met these people where they were. He does not leave us alone. We are not deserted by the one true holy God. But it's also comforting to know that we have a Savior who is powerful. He has conquered the final enemy. That enemy is death. Many of us are getting to that stage in life where we look at a job and we think, I'd like to do that, but I haven't got the energy. Or if I do that, I am going to suffer for the next 3 or 4 days. But when we come to the resurrection, we come to a God who has demonstrated his power throughout his earthly life. And he demonstrates his greatest power in that he has conquered death. Vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Friends, it is a comfort to know that there is one there stronger than us. We look at our jobs and they overwhelm us. But we are comforted when one younger or one stronger or one with more insight than us. Earlier in the week, my computer did silly things and I wasn't able to use the mail section of it. But Neil came along and he said, well, we need to do this, this and this. And as a result, I found a peace. I found a comfort. I didn't have to do it myself. A computer is a very small thing in the light of eternity. But Easter says to us, do not be alarmed. Fear not. He is not here. He is risen. He has conquered death. He has been raised. He is alive forevermore. It's an indestructible life. So we have a conquering life. We have a comforting life. But we have a commissioning life. The resurrection, friends, is of great personal comfort to us. It's a great help to us. But if it stops there, then we have missed the point of the resurrection, because the resurrection is a commissioning life. It is a life, it is an authority that says to us, I have got a job for you to do. In John chapter 20, where John records the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told that Mary realized that it was him. Eventually, she thought initially he was the gardener. And she asked, "Where have you laid him?" And he spoke her name. And she turned to him, "Rabboni, my teacher." And she wanted to hold on to him. But Jesus says, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Christ's first concern was to encourage and to empower his disciples. And this morning, friends, Christ, the resurrected Christ, says that to us. Go and tell my disciples. Go and tell my brothers. Give them this message. And that is repeated in so many of the records of the resurrection. Go tell his disciples, Mark writes, and Peter, that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And the resurrected Christ says to his people, says to us, says to the church, there is a work that continues to be done. I spoke to you earlier about the fact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not only on Easter Sunday morning, but Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was at the time of the appearance. Saul asks him, "Who are you?" "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Rise and enter the city and you will be told what you are to do." As soon as the Lord Jesus Christ saved his arch enemy, he said, "I have got a work for you to do. Not for somebody else. Yes, I have got my 11 apostles plus Matthias, plus the one who was appointed, but I am appointing you. I am raising you up that I might use you to the glory and praise of our God. Go and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Now, for a number of days, Paul was blind. He depended on other people. He was aware of his weakness. And then God sent to him Ananias. And Ananias was told, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake." As soon as he was converted, Saul of Tarsus was told that he was to be an instrument to carry the name of Christ before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Friends, all of us here this morning, young and old, we are commissioned to take the message of God's saving grace. Now, we will not all be called to become preachers, but we will all be witnesses by our very lives. People will see in us the change that Christ has made. And when that commission comes, it can be overwhelming, it can be frightening. We can think, well, what does God want me to do? Well, God wants us to demonstrate our love for him and our love for one another so that others might see that he lives in us. When John saw the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a different commission. Maybe it would help you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. And we can see there the picture that Peter, that John has of the resurrected Christ. But don't forget, it's not only the resurrected Christ that John sees. He also sees the glorified Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. The Lord Jesus Christ, if I can say this carefully, is no longer simply the resurrected man. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is this one who has been glorified in the presence of God. This is not a revelation that is granted to all and sundry. It was granted for a specific purpose. John has spent his life preaching. He was one of the first apostles to be called. He has written some letters. But here at the end of his life, the commission is not go into all the world and preach the gospel. But rather, in verse 19 of Revelation 1, it is, write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. And in effect, in the life of John, he's come to the point where there is no more evangelism. There is to be no more, as it were, public preaching. But there is a work for him to do. Right. And we thank God for the revelation that was given to John on this occasion. To give an overview of history, but also to give a vision of how things will be completed and how all things will be brought together in that final day of God's grace and glory. And John is commissioned to write for our benefit and for the benefit of the church down through the ages. Having seen this glorious picture of the glorified Christ, verse 17 says that I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. And the living one, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I want you to see this final statement. I have the keys of death and Hades. The final thing about the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ is that it is a saving life. The Lord Jesus Christ has the keys of death and hell, is how it's put in an older translation. The Lord Jesus Christ has in his hand the authority to give life and to impose death. Halfway through his ministry, people began leaving the Lord Jesus Christ and turning away from him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And friends, that statement is as true today as it was when Peter first said it. You have the words of eternal life. But also, he has the words of death and judgment. You go back to Good Friday. Jesus died to pay the debt caused by human sin. The debt was accepted. God in Trinity was satisfied that a substitute had paid the debt for the sins of all of God's people. And therefore, when Jesus rose from the dead, in effect, he was saying, I have got life for all who will believe. The debt is cleared. As a church, we're thinking about getting involved in Christians Against Poverty. And one of the things that the main function of that organization is to try and help people deal with the financial debts of this world. But friends, we've got an even greater debt. Each and every one of us here this morning has got a debt that we owe to God because we have failed to live in obedience to his word. We have failed to love him. But friends, you don't have to pay that debt. You can find that debt cleared because the Lord Jesus Christ has died. Because the wages, the penalty, the debt of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. It is new life. And you can take that new life this morning by acknowledging, yes, you have sinned. I have sinned. Everyone here this morning has sinned. But Jesus has got authority to give life. Why? Because he suffered the consequences of sin. He suffered the consequences of death. This morning, our subject is Jesus, new life. You have the words of eternal life. But Jesus also says, I have the keys of death and Hades. Friends, on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to ask you, what do you want from Jesus? That solemn last word, depart from me, I never knew you. Or do you want that wonderful invitation? I was dead. I have been raised. I'm alive forevermore. Come, enter into my salvation. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. He's not here. He is risen. He has risen to give new life. Will you take that life this morning? Will you find peace with God? Will you enjoy the wonder and the grace that the glorified Christ is willing to give to all who believe? Amen.